This audio is machine generated. Please excuse any mispronunciations. A Conversation Between Hebrews 4 and Islam by Tim Orr. Imagine standing at the bottom of a huge mountain, knowing you're the one who has to climb it. You can feel the weight of everything you've been carrying, such as past mistakes, missed expectations, and the unknowns waiting ahead. It's not just a physical challenge. It hits you emotionally and spiritually too. At some point, you start asking yourself if you really have what it takes to make it all the way up. Or maybe the better question is whether you were ever meant to do it alone. That tension between going alone or needing help gets right to the heart of how Christianity and Islam understand our relationship with God. Hebrews 4:14-16 gives a very clear picture from the Christian side. It presents Jesus not just as a teacher or prophet, but as a high priest who stands between God and humanity. That idea of a priest might feel distant to us, but in the ancient world it meant someone who represented people before God. The passage also emphasizes that Jesus understands human weakness because he lived through it. He's not removed from our struggles, he's been there. And because of that, believers are invited to come to God with confidence, not fear. That's a major shift from seeing God as distant to seeing him as accessible.
When Hebrews calls Jesus the great high priest, it's building on something older from the Jewish system of worship. Back then, priests offered sacrifices to deal with sin, and the high priest had a special role once a year to represent the whole nation. But those sacrifices never fully solved the problem. They had to be repeated over and over. Hebrews argues that Jesus changes that completely. His sacrifice isn't temporary, it's final. That means there's no longer a need for repeated offerings or ongoing rituals to deal with sin. The work has already been done. Another important point is how personal this makes things. Jesus isn't pictured as distant or out of touch, but as someone who really understands what it's like to struggle. The text says he was tempted in every way, just like we are, but was without sin. That means he's not just speaking for us in some distant, abstract way. He really understands. There's a big difference when the person helping you has actually been through what you're facing. It's like having someone in your corner who truly gets it because they've walked that same road. So when he speaks on your behalf, it's not just theory, it comes from real experience. That's why the passage says believers can approach God's throne with confidence. Islam approaches this whole issue differently. The Quran stresses that every person is responsible for their own actions before God. No one can carry someone else's burden or take responsibility for their sins. That means there isn't a need for a mediator in the same way Christianity teaches. Instead, individuals are expected to turn directly to God through repentance, prayer, and obedience. The relationship is personal, but it's also very much tied to accountability. Each person stands on their own before God. That doesn't mean Islam has no concept of intercession at all. There is an idea that certain figures, especially Muhammad, may intercede on behalf of others. But even then, it only happens if God allows it. It's not something you can count on automatically, and it doesn't take away personal responsibility. People still have to live rightly and seek forgiveness for themselves. So while intercession exists in Islam, it's not the same as in Christianity. It's limited and conditional, not something everything else rests on. These differences don't just stay on paper, they show up in everyday life. For Christians, the belief that Jesus intercedes gives a real sense of assurance. When they mess up or feel weighed down by guilt, they're not trying to earn their way back. They believe the way to God has already been opened for them. That shift changes the whole tone of prayer and how forgiveness is understood. Instead of feeling like something you have to earn, it's seen as something you're given. People aren't trying to work their way back to God. They're coming to him because the way has already been opened. For Muslims, faith is often tied closely to effort and discipline. That's why daily prayer, fasting, and giving matter so much, especially during Ramadan. They're not just things you check off a list. They're meant to help you draw closer to God and seek his forgiveness. When you look at it that way, they're not empty routines at all. They're ways of staying grounded and keeping your life in step with what God wants. There's a strong sense that how you live really matters. That doesn't eliminate hope in God's mercy, but it does mean responsibility stays front and center. In the end, the difference comes down to how each faith understands mediation. Christianity looks at Jesus as the one who closes the distance between us and God. Because of him, people don't have to approach God unsure or afraid. They can come with confidence. Islam takes a different approach, stressing that each person stands before God on their own, responsible for their own actions and choices. Both take sin seriously, and both care deeply about accountability, but they handle the problem in very different ways. Christianity leans on the idea that someone has already made the way, while Islam emphasizes that each person must answer directly to God. That difference isn't minor. It shapes how each faith is actually lived out day to day. For more from Tim Orr and helping churches engage with Muslims, check out his Substack at 44timorr.substack.com. Used by permission.